Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 7, Number 8. Last month, I began a new series on the technique of weight training, focusing on what are collectively viewed as the three most important lifts, namely the squat, the deadlift, and, you guessed it, the bench press, the barbells in the gym rule. Now, these three exercises are fantastic for building power, strength, and speed. And remember, those are three different things. You know, power is the strength that moves. Speed is tied in with velocity. So if you're an athlete, these are great movements for building power, strength, and speed. And we need these things as athletes engaged in the sport of life. So I don't care whether you play officially on a sport team or not. You're engaged in life. You need power, you need strength, and you need speed, and you need it when you need it. And you'll lose these things if you don't stay in tip-top shape. And of course, these training movements are fantastic for core health. Core is the center of your being. You let your core degrade, and you as a whole person degrade. Now, how many people do you see in the gym actually deadlifting or squatting? Go in the gym the next time and have a good look around, and you're going to see basically nobody is deadlifting, and if you do see it, it's going to be a very unusual event. Most people choose what I call wimpy machines because they're quick and easy, and that's why these people are not getting results. That's also why they don't look like they train. If you train wimpy style, you look wimpy style. You've got to train with intensity. You've got to train with magnificence in your heart. You've got to train with diligence. You've got to focus on what you're doing. You can't be pumping out a machine with one arm and holding a magazine in the other and reading it and sipping on a Gatorade. Now, machines lack the balance and the coordination that these prime movers, I call them, have to offer. You've got to control the weight. You've got to control and learn about gravity. You've got to place your body in the right spot. You've got to almost sterilize yourself so that you don't get injured and damaged. You've got to move correctly. You've got to use your brain, and you don't have to really do that when you're using machines. To be fair to machines, though, they're not completely useless. They're a great supplement, but they supplement your diet of training with iron. So you've got to have some iron in the hand and always, always keeping in mind what the secret of steel is. Now, if we choose quick and easy our entire lifelong, I guarantee we're all going to die slow and hard. So if you choose the right path, you get the results that you want. You stay hard and lean. And when you go down, it's going to be fast and painless and quick. And that's the best way to go. Not a slow, miserable death that unwinds over 20 years. Now, if you do see someone benching or squatting with a barbell, they are usually not doing it correctly. And I'd say the 80-20 rule applies here, and that's being generous. Of course, I mean 80% of them are not doing it correctly. So who's teaching these people? The answer is no one, or personal trainers who don't deadlift, bench, or squat themselves, or coaches who have been misinformed about the technique of these exercises. But once in a while, you're going to see someone that does it right, and you're going to find out why. It's because they have had training from a power lifter, or they're doing it right because they're focused on education. They've learned the technique and the strategy, and they're usually experienced veterans. They're the ones that you see lifting the poundage. Now, the muscle wannabes who are reading these garbage muscle magazines, I just looked at one the other day, and I'm telling you, it's almost as thick as a phone book, and the thing is just filled with garbage. I can't believe how diluted the science of sport nutrition has become. And the reason being is because there's a lot of suppliers out there that are trying to take advantage of the ignorance and this idealistic, make-believe, dreamer-like mentality of these young kids who look at the bodybuilders in the magazines who are all jacked on roids, every single one of them taking growth hormone, injecting insulin, none of them taking the supplements, but they actually believe, these people read these magazines, that they're taking these supplements. So I guess you get what you pay for, and if that's your process, then at the end of the day, you're going to find out that the days go by and it's been years and you realize how much time you've really wasted. So the corporate gyms also, the problem with the deadlifting mentality is that it doesn't attract the kind of clientele that they want. They want people to be in and out. They want to revolve the workout around cardio. They want to use the machines, the less time the better, because there's one thing that the corporate national gyms want, and that is your money. They want you to sign up. They want you to get out and stay out, but they want your money to keep coming in. That's the mentality. That's why I love the neighborhood gyms and gyms that have the proper equipment, like a lifting pad that you can drop the weights on. Usually universities and the hardcore gyms have a lifting platform where you can do your deadlift squats, standing presses, and Olympic lifting. You're watching the Olympics coming up. They're gone now by the time you hear this, most likely. And you're going to see the weightlifters. It's an Olympic sport, and they use a room with lots of weight to throw around those plates that go on the ends of the barbells. So let's get into the deadlift, the king of all exercises. Well, that belongs to, as a title, the squat. So we're going to call this the king of power, the king of growth hormone release. And the deadlift is pretty much dead in most public gyms, and I already explained why. But to really get into the deadlift, you're going to have to embrace the concept of calluses being formed on your hands. And ladies, don't wear gloves. No excuses from you. If you're a woman, your femininity will be preserved, I guarantee it. Tracy deadlifts at least once a week, and it does her physique a lot of good. It cleans up her posture. It tightens up the waist and the upper thighs, those problem areas. If you want to have a nice trim butt and buttocks and thighs, get into deadlifting, get into lunges, get into sprinting, and eat well and properly. I'm telling you, you'll just be lean for life. Now, the deadlift is one of the best tests of overall body strength, certainly better than the bench press. Next time somebody asks you how much you can bench, say, never mind that bench, never mind the bench press. How much can you deadlift, buddy? And see what they say. Most people don't even know what the deadlift is, and yet it's one of the most basic, effective movements there is for building core, deep inside structural strength. And the deadlift, it is number one in terms of muscle fiber recruitment and growth hormone release. When it gets slim, then deadlift, and watch your carb intake. The fat will just get sucked right off your body in no time flat. So what is a deadlift? It's a multi-joint or compound movement that involves picking up a barbell from the floor and standing to an erect position. Pretty simple and basic, but just give it a try and see how simple and basic it is. Simple, yes, but it's tough when done right and when you start to throw some weight on the bar. The movement includes recruitment of the muscles of the hip, lower back, upper back, quadriceps, hamstrings, and abdominals, otherwise known as the erector spina, the trapezius, the rectus femoris, the vastus lateralis, the vastus intermedius, the vastus medialis, the semitendinosus, and the semimembranosus. Those are your two elongated leg bicep strings behind the back. Those are the technical terms. And additional muscle involvement includes the glutes and, of course, the lats or the back. The four rotator cuff muscles get involved, and that's your teres minor, the subscapularis, the infraspinatus, and the supraspinatus. And finally, your biceps. In super heavy deadlifting, if you don't keep your arm straight, you can rip your bicep tendon right off the bone, and it has happened. So when you're deadlifting, keep your arms straight and let them pull from the shoulders and mainly the traps. Now, when performed correctly, the deadlift is an excellent exercise to develop strength, speed, and power. Deadlifting the conventional way, which is the style I use and recommend, involves foot placement at approximately shoulder width apart and gripping the bar on the outside of the legs. Sumo style is used with a much wider stance in which the lifter grips the bar with the arms placed on the inside of the legs. Both techniques have been used effectively in elite power lifting competition. What are the benefits of deadlifting? Overall shape, strengthening of the entire frame, slims the butt and upper outer thighs, tightens up the core from the inside out, and like the squat, it's great for internal organ function, including the digestive tract, the kidneys, the liver, the pancreas, the intestines. I bet you never really thought about weight training being good for your internal organs. Well, they're made of smooth muscle, and smooth muscle, like skeletal muscle and other tissue in the body, responds to the effects of training and movement and exercise. So it really is a tremendous movement. It's a compound exercise, and that means that it's going to involve the recruitment of more than just one primary muscle. Of course, the back, the glutes, the hips, right from the pelvic bowl inside through with tendons attached to all the other muscles that you're getting. So it's a great movement. Of course, the bench, the squat, and the deadlift are all compound exercises. Now, when you stand over the bar, this is very important. We're going to start talking about the technique now. So what you do is you've got the 45 pounds or whatever weight you're using. For the guys, you can usually start heavier, and for the ladies, you'll need to use lighter weights. Tracy used 25s, and you can even raise the bar up a little bit, because if it's too low to the ground, the bar, you don't want to start from less than, say, 6 to 8 inches. Otherwise, you can damage your back. So the barbell has got to be high enough so that when you commence the lift, you don't damage your back. And there's a whole technique to avoid that, too. So anyway, you're standing over the bar, and the hand grip and grip spacing is just outside of your calves, and it's a reverse grip, which is a stronger grip. You can switch that. You can put one hand over on one side and the other under, and then switch it to balance it out. The feet are like the squat. They're perfectly straight. The distance between the toes and the heels is the same. They're about the same distance apart as your hips. And you can go wider if you like, but remember that the knee is a hinge joint, and when you're moving weight through your body, you want to move your knees through, or have the weight coming through them and back towards the spine. The more back, the better. But you want your knees to be like a door hinge, and you want it to move up and down in a perfectly straight line. So anyway, you're going to squat down really quite low, pull that bar in towards your shins. You've got a grip that's just outside of your shins on the outside, nice and tight. And what you're going to do is, when you've got your foot position and your distance between your feet organized, and the position of the head is not looking up and not looking down, but it's looking straight ahead, and your neck is relatively straight. But what you do is you cinch up the bar. What that means is that you'll feel a little pull, a little give, a little movement. And the secret to preventing injury in the deadlift is to get down over that bar, get your butt down. The position is ideal now. And you cinch the bar up. You tighten all of the muscles before you commence the lift. And so what you're doing is, this is very important, the entire body is contracting in a fluid-like motion, not jerky, so that when you pull with your arms and then your traps and then your back and then you push off with your legs. No, the entire skeletal muscular system is moving in unison. And so just before you lift, you squeeze your hands on that bar. You squeeze and tighten every single muscle in your body. And then there's no give. It's right inside, nice and tight, and you stand up straight, and the bar is moving right along your legs, staying well tight to your body so that there's minimal risk of injuring your lower back. And that lower back's got to be strong. Don't forget, don't neglect your lower back for core training. The squats will certainly help, and all other movements of core training should be directed towards supporting the lower back. But this is a great lower back movement when it's done correctly, but knowing that you can blow out your lower back, no problem, if your back is too high when you commence. So get down low. Your connection to the barbell is one. You and the barbell are one. It's very much like squatting. You want to generate power through the quads and the hips, not pulling with your arms and upper body. Remember, keep those arms straight. Get down low, really down low. And I'm not talking about the Oprah special down low where these guys on the side that are married to females have relationships with men. I'm not talking about that kind of down low. I'm talking about getting down low to the bar. Now, we talked about the knees. The distance between the knees has got to be the same from beginning to end. Don't let the knees buckle in. The line of gravity is going through your body in a straight line. Remember, that's how gravity works. And so you want that line of weight of gravity. The weight is the function of your body mechanics. It's tight. It's part of you. You're one with the steel. And you're moving that thing through a straight line and then just standing up and lowering the weight. The reps and sets for power and strength can be triples and sixes and twelves. Remember, get some good warm-ups. Remember what an engram is. That's a warm-up done perfectly, ideally, and it is a message sent to the brain that tells the brain exactly how you're going to lift when the weight is on. So when you warm up correctly, your brain is going to mimic the warm-up motion, and so when you've got weight, which increases the risk, you're going to reduce the risk because it's going to follow the pattern that you have rehearsed in your brain. The tempo is lower the weight in control. That's the eccentric effect. That is the negative effect. That's the power effect. And the tempo means you like a spaceship or a rocket ship, you explode, lift that weight up, keep the arms straight, keep the body nice and tight. You and the weights are one, and then you lower it slowly, and when the plates on each side touch, they should touch simultaneously. That's knowing whether or not you're balanced and the form is good. So that's pretty much it. The deadlift is a great exercise. Do it on back day, and do it at the beginning of your workout after a good warm-up. In training, stress leads the way in terms of exercise sequence. In other words, start with exercises that demand the most from you biologically. Exercises that allow you to lift the most weight are generally more taxing on your entire system. So do them first when your energy, insulin, glucose, and glycogen levels are at their peak. And this is where optimum nutrition comes in. Before you go to war, make sure you're well-armed and every gun is loaded. To me, a pre- and post-workout shake is critical for ensuring that my six guns are loaded and I've got my ammunition belt fully stacked to train hard, and this is essential to quick recovery. Next month, I'll review the bench press and discuss why almost everyone I know who benches on a regular basis has either ruined their shoulders, damaged their rotator cuff muscles, or has problems with their forearms and elbows. When performed correctly, the barbell bench press helps create great pectoral shape, thickens the cross fibers of the chest, and lays deep functional tissue along the surface of the ribs. But it has got to be done right, like every other exercise that you ever do for the rest of your life. Form is critical, then the weights will follow, and then the shape will come from that. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Stephen R. Covey, author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Opposition is a natural part of life. Just as we develop our physical muscles through overcoming opposition, such as lifting weights, we develop our character muscles by overcoming challenges and adversity.